12:08 a.m. here on Saturday morning in 720 WGN. It is mid-afternoon on Saturday in Tokyo, and that's where our friend Simon Denyer from the Washington Post joins us. Hello, Simon. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Matt. Good to be back.
Thank you so much for joining us. I do appreciate it. It is like Saturday afternoon, about 2:10 p.m. there?
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
How's the future looking?
Looking out my window, it's a little bit rainy today, but it's not too bad. We're in the slightly wet season before the heat really kicks in, just in time for the Olympics.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. We talked to you a few months ago when things were very up in the air. Here we are, just over 30 days away now from the start of the Olympics, and I'm still seeing articles where there's a lot of consternation over whether or not these things should even take place. What's the latest?
Yeah, I mean, that mood hasn't really changed. There has been a little bit of a easing, if you like, in terms of the public opposition, because the vaccine program is finally getting underway here in Japan. But essentially, there's still not going to be the Olympics that we might love and we might want to enjoy. It's going to be a rather joyless affair, I'm afraid. At least, you know, off the actual sporting competition, the mood in Tokyo, the mood around Japan is not going to be a celebratory mood because of the pandemic. It's, you know, it's still having an impact here.
Well, and it's certainly they've done everything. I mean, maybe people would argue this from my perspective and what I've read. They've done pretty much everything they can as far as restricting access. The participants are going to have to come, take all these tests, isolate for 3 days, then only stay in the village, not go outside of it, perform in their events, and then get out of Dodge and go back home. They're really trying to limit everything as best they can, although they're not requiring the athletes to actually be vaccinated, which I thought was interesting. I can't imagine most of them won't be, but they're not requiring that. So what is the most major concern? Because some people say, I think one of the officials for the Olympics said, you know, we've created this big bubble for this, and that's why this will still work, even if the virus is increasing. If everybody's tested, they come and they stay within their bubble that we regulate, it should be relatively safe. Is that the thought?
Yeah, you know, they have these incredibly complicated rule books. They call them playbooks for, you know, the athletes and the officials and the media, how everybody's supposed to behave during the Olympics. So they put a lot of thought and a lot of scientific kind of expertise into designing what those bubbles that you described. They're saying that 80% of the athletes and other, you know, other people who are coming will be vaccinated, although, as you said, they've not made it compulsory. They'll be testing all the time, but they've restricted the number of sort of people who are coming. It was going to be 140,000. They've cut that number down to 41,000, so less than a third in terms of all the other people who come for the Olympics. So they put in this huge effort, and I personally don't think there's going to be some, you know, outbreak of COVID in the Olympic Village or mass transmission from the people coming to the Japanese population, because I think people will generally respect the rules. I think that the concern, if you like, is that there's a lot more people. If they allow domestic spectators into the stadiums, then there's a lot of people who are going to be milling around in Tokyo, Japanese people, and that could cause, you know, if they go out to eat afterwards, if they're just generally out and about more, that could cause some increase in infections. And that's what they're now trying to regulate.
So let me go back. You said it was going to be 140,000 people. Now they've reduced that to 40,000. Was that 140,000 just participants and people that would be there working and things like that? Or did that include spectators of some sort?
You know, that's just the whole kind of, it's the athletes, the match officials, the delegation officials, the, you know, the all of the people who come, Olympic officials who come as part of the Olympics from abroad. So they've really cut that number down, you know, and they did say, for example, that the entire Indian delegation, including all 66 journalists who are coming from India, will be vaccinated, because obviously, you know, India is a place where the Delta variant is has really got a grip. So they made particular kind of efforts to do that. But, you know, variants, that is a concern. I think the variants coming in, they do exist here in Japan, but getting a boost from variants would be a concern. they hadn't taken all these precautions.
We talked about that a bit earlier on the show tonight. There's an article in National Geographic about this Delta variant and how strong it is, and how if you've only had one vaccine, it's very strong. And even with the 93% effective rate goes down to 88%, and it's such a super spreader, and that really is a concern. And I wonder if that takes hold there in Japan a week or two. I mean, have they said when they have to decide by? If there was this huge outbreak 7 days before things were going to start, could they actually pull the plug, or is it too late and you just have to do whatever you can?
So they will announce a decision on Monday about domestic spectators. As we say, overseas spectators were banned some time ago. They're going to announce a decision on Monday on domestic spectators, and it's likely to be along the lines of the current government guidelines, which will be a maximum 10,000 people or 50% of a stadium or venue's capacity, whichever is the smaller number. So 10,000 people maximum within the Olympic Stadium, for example. But what they've said is, if there is an outbreak, if there's a change in the pandemic situation, they could revise that. So at the last minute, they've left the door open to turning up the day before and saying, look, sorry, guys, you know, you've all got tickets, but you can't come into the stadiums because the pandemic has kicked up a gear. So it is a concern, because they're just easing the state of emergency here. So there's going to be a pickup in the numbers, I'm sure, over the next few weeks anyway. We are going to be watching those numbers, those infection numbers, pretty closely over the next few weeks as we go into that final 30 days.
We're speaking with Simon Denyer. He's a bureau chief for the Washington Post in Japan, covering Japan and the Koreas. He's located in Tokyo. And let's talk a little bit more about these Olympics. And what does it mean if we don't allow spectators? And how will this affect future Olympic Games and cities being willing to bid for them? We'll talk about that next here on 720 WGN. WGN. Matt Bubala here with you until 1 a.m. We're speaking with Simon Denyer. He's a bureau chief for the Washington Post over in Japan, covering Japan and the Koreas. Simon, you're talking about, you know, whether they're going to announce the money, whether spectators are allowed. So how, and I apologize if this is not really your realm, I might be getting a little too into the weeds here, but what does it matter for Tokyo and Japan if there are spectators? Is that the only way they recoup any of their costs on this if people come to the games? Or is it just kind of like, hey, whatever it takes, let's get these games on, get them over with, and let's move on? Apparently, you know, I'm sure they regret that they ever bid for them. If they knew this was how it was going to be, they'd probably say, God, we would have done this. But what do they need to say, okay, at least this will still be as successful as it can possibly be at this point? Do they have to have spectators, or would they be fine canceling them altogether?
Right. I mean, if one of the sort of slogans which was coming out earlier this year and last year was that the games were supposed to be a signal of mankind's victory over the pandemic. And they've rather dropped that slogan in the last few months. But I think that what Japan really wants is, if we can have some spectators, we can show that we pulled this off and that we did, in the end, it was worthwhile going ahead. But if there are no spectators, if it's just a made-for-TV event, then what is the benefit for Japan, having gone through all of this angst, having spent all of this money, if the people of Tokyo and Japan, you know, had to sit at home watching it on TV like everybody else in the world, if the bars and restaurants are going to be all closed down because, you know, during the Olympics, because we don't want to spread any infection. Everyone was expecting this big financial boost from the Olympics, but everyone was also expecting this big boost for Japan's international image. And I think holding the games with some spectators does limit some of that sort of damage, and at least allows them to claim some kind of victory, even if it's a very, very partial victory, and a lot of people, you know, might not agree.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, Because in my assumption is most, we always hear most of the Olympics end up losing money for the cities. They spend more than they make, and it's rare that you come out feeling really good about it, or a city is not kind of divided over whether they should have done it in the first place. But the benefit can be when a place is showcased around the globe during the Olympics. As you know, here in America, NBC does a great job of covering the Olympics and telling these stories and painting the picture of the area and the traditions and all those things. And it has to be a huge boon, I would assume, mostly for tourism afterwards. So having the Olympics at all after you spend all this money, I would think would be of utmost importance. And if you can get people there, that's great. But I would think after all these billions of dollars, at the very least, they've got to say, hey, we need to have these games and show off our country and all the work we've put in and try to bring people over here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they were hoping for a really, really big boost in tourism this year. And actually, tourism is one of the areas they were hoping for to grow the economy generally. So they've been trying to get more tourists in. And it's been, you know, pretty successful. And what, of course, you've got now is a complete flatline on tourists this year and last year. But you're right. There is still some benefit, if you like, of advertising Japan, and people will see Japan and may want to go. But, you know, there were a lot of people who held 600,000 tickets were sold to overseas spectators who are all going to come here, all going to, you know, have a wonderful time and come home saying what a wonderful place Japan is, and tell all their friends to go there, which it is. It's a fantastic place to go on holiday, I have to say. But, you know, that kind of word of mouth benefit's not going to be there. And the conversation around Japan is just a little bit less positive at the moment than the government would hope. I mean, you know, they hope the torch relay would be this great advertisement for Japan. But of course, the torch relay has been a total damp squib because of the pandemic. So you're absolutely right. When the games takes place, there's always a burst of positive energy when the games take place. And there will be positive messages going out on TV, and Japan will have a chance to showcase itself. But, you know, the pandemic does take some of the gloss off that, I think.
Well, absolutely. Of course it does. How do you think this affects the USOC, or the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, seem to already be having some trouble getting countries to bid on the games? They have not been overwhelmed with bids in the last few years when they've had the open bidding process. Do you think the way this is being handled is going to affect further a city's willingness or a country's willingness to put themselves out there for this type of possible loss? I know it's hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime type thing we've gone through, but I would think this gives places pause to say, man, they really spent all this money and they're not getting the benefit from it, and it's such a risk, and maybe are going to realize that even more.
Right. I mean, just think about the sponsors, for example. The sponsors who put all of this money into the Olympics on these fantastically expensive contracts. In Japan, they called a halt to sort of advertising related to the games because the games are so controversial. So they were supposed to be, you know, taking advantage of their sponsorship and telling Japan what a wonderful job they've done by sponsoring the games. None of that's happening, or very little of that's happening, because no one wants to be associated with the games, which is so controversial. So you're absolutely right. And one of the other issues is that there is a perception here, rightly or wrongly, that the IOC kind of forced Japan to go ahead. Now, I'm not sure that that's true. I think Japan was pretty determined to go ahead as well. But, you know, there is a perception that the IOC held all the cards and kept Japan, you know, you can't postpone another year, just go ahead, you can't cancel. Public opinion in Japan doesn't matter. We have to just brave this out. And I think that's a bit of a concern when you're looking at a city like, you know, when you look at that from a host city point of view, and you think, you know, if something happens, the IOC kind of holds all the cards, and the IOC is the one who makes the decision, even if things don't go as planned. We hope, as you said, the pandemic is a once-in-a-lifetime event. And I think there are other factors which probably mean that host cities are a bit reluctant to get involved these days, but this isn't great for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine that if Japan really kind of gets held over a barrel on this and loses everything, that the IOC is going to look really bad. And you know, one of the officials is saying there is no plan B. We either have it this summer or they're canceled. Is that seems? I know the next summer games will be coming up so quickly if you delay another year. but you would think it would make sense to give them the option. We are in unprecedented times. Is it the IOC who's saying it's all or nothing, or is Japan saying, hey, we don't even want to bother with this if we have to delay it one more year?
Yeah, you know, it's been the mantra from, I mean, my personal view is they should have postponed it for 2 years from when the decision was made last year. I thought it was a gamble, a hostage to fortune to delay for a year, and that's not 2020 hindsight. I mean, I said it at the time, and I just felt 2 years would have given them the breathing space to get through this pandemic. They have absolutely insisted that they can't. After having renegotiated the contracts with the Olympic Village, there's a real estate company who is going to take it over and convert it into apartments. Having kept all the staff on for another year, you know, all of the costs associated with securing the venues again, they're absolutely insistent that from the whole of this year, they've been saying over and over again, it's go ahead this year or it's cancel it completely. Personally, I'm convinced I would have preferred a postponement, but that has been the mantra. We can't logistically, financially, we can't do it, and that's I think the shame, because if it had taken place in 2022, it would have been difficult for some of the athletes who wanted to compete. You know, 2 year delay for the athletes is hard, but if it had taken place next year, Japan could have got all of those economic benefits. The whole atmosphere around the games, I think, you know, people would be traveling again. I'm fairly sure that, you know, vaccines would have been pretty prevalent around Japan and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, that second year postponement, I think that was a mistake, but they're absolutely determined, as you say, that it's this year or bust. So we are going ahead. That's the message that we're getting.
Or there's going to be the bust if there's a huge outbreak and they just cancel. But it, like you said, it seems like all the reasons for not having it or the difficulties seem to be all the more reason to go ahead and wait one more year and do it. You spent all the money. All these athletes, you know, were trying to be here, set their life. You know, for some athletes, you got kind of one Olympics and that's it. Your expiration date is very quick. And so these people that have been training kind of their whole lives for this one moment, if it's another year delay, okay. If it's three more years, there's a good chance younger, faster, stronger is going to be coming along and you won't make it. So it's so heartbreaking to think about the idea of just canceling the whole thing and not even just trying to reschedule. And I understand we've got all the staff on. We can't just keep doing this. People have to take over these areas. But you think about everything they spent on it, you would think like, all right, one more year. We'll spend a little more for one more year because we spent $10 billion on this. We're just throwing away if we don't have the Olympics.
Right. No, absolutely. But, you know, I think speaking to the athletes, and my colleagues in the States speak to the athletes, you know, they want to come and they really want it to go ahead and they want to feel that. But, you know, there is this thing in the back of, I think, some of their minds that they don't want to come if it's going to cause a spike in infections. They don't want to come if the people of Japan are resolutely opposed to them being there. So, you know, I hope that when the games actually start, that there isn't an outbreak in infections and we can, you know, we can just concentrate on celebrating the sporting excellence. But I think, you know, it does create a bit of doubt, even in the athletes' minds, in the back of their minds. You know, they're training really hard, but they don't want to come to an Olympics, which is not welcomed by the people of Japan, I'm sure.
Simon Denyer is the bureau chief in Japan and covering the Koreas for the Washington Post. We always appreciate your time. And Simon, I imagine I'm going to be calling you again in about 30 days, sir.
I look forward to it, Matt. Good to talk to you.
All right. You have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much, Simon Denyer. Find him at WashingtonPost.com. Now, time for News Nation News on 720 WGN.